Hello and welcome to episode 847 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on Good Friday, March 29th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Friday prayer to the Most Blessed Virgin Mary to obtain love towards her and Jesus Christ. O Mary, I already know that thou art the most noble, the most sublime, the most pure, the most beautiful, the most benign, the most holy, in a word, the most amiable of all creatures. O that all knew thee, my Lady, and loved thee as thou dost merit. But I am consoled when I remember that in heaven and on earth there are so many happy souls who live enamored of thy goodness and beauty. Above all, I rejoice that God himself loves thee alone more than he loves all men and angels together. My most amiable queen, I, a miserable sinner, love thee also, but I love thee too little. I desire a greater and more tender love towards thee, and this thou must obtain for me, since to love thee is a great mark of predestination and a grace which God only grants to those whom he will save. I see also, my mother, that I am indeed under great obligations to thy son. I see that he merits infinite love. Thou who desirest nothing else but to see him loved hast to obtain me this grace above all others. Obtain me great love for Jesus Christ. Thou obtainest all that thou willest from God. Ah, then be graciously pleased to obtain me the grace to be so united to the divine will that I may never more be separated from it. I do not ask of thee earthly goods, honors, or riches. I ask thee for that which thy heart desires most for me. I wish to love my God. Is it possible that thou refusest to second this my desire, which is so pleasing to thee? Ah, no. Thou already helpest me. Already thou prayest for me. Pray, pray, and cease not to pray until thou seest me safe in heaven, beyond the possibility of evermore losing my Lord, and certain to love him forever, together with thee, my dearest mother. Prayer for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. Today, friends, we head back to fisheaters.com and meditations for Lent for the penultimate time. The excellent book, which was published by Sheet and Ward in 1937, a collection of meditations by the angelic doctor, St. Thomas Aquinas. This is for Good Friday and is titled The Death of Christ. St. Thomas begins by saying that Christ should die was expedient. 1. To make our redemption complete. 4. Although any suffering of Christ had an infinite value because of its union with his divinity, it was not by no matter which of his sufferings that the redemption of mankind was made complete, but only by his death. but only by his death. So the Holy Spirit declared, speaking through the mouth of Caiaphas, "It is expedient for you that one man shall die for the people." John 11:50. Whence St. Augustine says, "Let us stand in wonder, rejoice, be glad, love, praise, and adore, since it is by the death of our Redeemer that we have been called from death to life, from exile to our own land, from mourning to joy." You think about the fact that we exist at all, friends, that anything exists, that God created everything that we see, the heavens and the earth and us, and everyone will love in this life. Holds us in existence all at once. He doesn't need us at all. The fact that we're here doesn't add one drop to his glory. But you think of that pure, gratuitous act of love, that we're here, that everything that exists is here, that he's holding us in existence all at once. Well, that in and of itself is enough to cause us to wonder at the love of God and just be awestruck forever. But then we get to the fact that God suffered for us and didn't just suffer slightly, suffered the weight of all sin, was humiliated, was tortured, was crucified for us. That's love beyond all comprehension, that God should love us in that way. You can't even put words to that. You just have to be grateful and you have to live your life completely for Him. So kiss a crucifix today and tell Jesus how much you love Him and how grateful you are for what He did for you. Because ultimately, yes, there's sadness and torment for what He went through. And you can imagine Our Lady and Saint John, what they went through watching Jesus suffer in this manner. But we're looking forward to, in a couple of days, to Easter Sunday. And ultimately, this all ends in joy beyond all comprehension. Two, to increase our faith, our hope, and our charity. With regard to faith, the psalm says, I am alone until I pass from this world, that is, to the Father. When I shall have passed to the Father, then shall I be multiplied. Unless the grain of wheat falling into the ground die itself remaineth alone. John 12:24. As to the increase of hope, St. Paul writes, He that spared not even His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how hath He not also with Him given us all things? Romans 8:32. God cannot deny us this, for to give us all things is less than to give His own Son to death for us. St. Bernard says, Who is not carried away to hope and confidence in prayer? When he looks on the crucifix and sees how our Lord hangs there, the head bent as though to kiss, the arms outstretched in an embrace, the hands pierced to give, the side open to love, the feet nailed to remain with us. Come, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, Canticles 2:14. It is in the wounds of Christ the church builds its nest and waits, for it is in the passion of our Lord that she places her hope of salvation, and thereby trusts to be protected from the craft of the falcon, that is, of the devil. With regard to the increase of charity, Holy Scripture says, At noon he burneth the earth, Ecclesiasticus 43:3. That is to say, in the fervor of his passion, he burns up all mankind with his love. So St. Bernard says, The chalice thou didst drink, O good Jesus, maketh thee lovable above all things. The work of our redemption easily, brushing aside all hindrances, calls out in return the whole of our love. This it is which God more gently draws out our devotion, builds it up more straightly, guards it more closely, and fires it with greater ardor. Exactly. How can we not should be filled with love when we see this tremendous act of love, this love beyond all comprehension that our Lord goes through for us during the course of his crucifixion? The only appropriate response, the only sane response, is to love him back, is to live totally for him, to be fully and unapologetically Catholic, to do good and avoid evil, to not want to offend him in the slightest thing. That's the only response to the love Jesus shows to us, by loving him totally in return. Anything less would be absurd. Anything less is not doing what we're created to do. 3. Because our salvation is wrought in the manner of a sacrament, we dying to this world and a likeness to his death, so that my soul chooseth hanging and my bones death. Job 7:15. St. Gregory says, the soul is the mind's aspiration. The bones are the strength of the body's desires. Things hanged are raised thereby from the depths. The soul, then, is hanged to things eternal that the bones may die. For it is with the love of eternal life that the soul slays the strong attraction earthly things possess for it. It is a sign that a soul is dead to the world when a soul is despised by the world. Again, to quote St. Gregory, the sea keeps the bodies that are alive in it. Once they are dead, it quickly casts them up. So our salvation is wrought in the manner of a sacrament, we dying to this world and a likeness to his death, so that my soul chooseth hanging and my bones death. And what can we expect, friends, from the world when we see what our Lord went through, when perfection incarnate suffers in this manner, when love incarnate suffers in this matter? So then, do we dare complain? When we go through struggles in this life, we should thank our Lord on our hands and knees for the suffering that we go through in this life and offer it up in reparation for our sins against his Sacred Heart, the Immaculate Heart of the Blessed Mother, the Most Chaste Heart of Saint Joseph. Offer it up for the relief of the holy souls in purgatory. When we suffer, if we take it from the mindset of seeing what our Lord went through, then we can be like him. Think of all the suffering he went through for you. Then suffering becomes redemptive. If we look at it from a worldly perspective, oh yeah, I don't want to suffer at all. I just want to feel good all the time. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There's an obsession in the world with youth and being young and looking young and plastic surgery and all this other stuff. What happened to growing old gracefully, right? What happened to looking forward to death? I think there are a lot of people in this world who are not looking forward to death because they're not sure about what comes next. Well, we know what comes next. Heaven, purgatory, or hell. Be judged immediately when we die. If you go to purgatory, you'll eventually be in heaven. The souls who died perfectly purified in God's grace, no attachment to sin whatsoever, straight to heaven. If you die with a mortal sin on your soul, you go to hell. That's the truth. We must always be prepared to die, because whether we die next week or 55 years from next week, it's not even a drop in the ocean in terms of eternity. We want to spend our eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ and all of his angels and saints. So we have to have that eternal perspective. How does this look in the light of eternity? Remember that the next time you're tempted to sin. And you have those temptations in order to build you up. We're not tempted beyond our strength. God gives us the grace to endure whatever temptations we go through. It's a way of building up our spiritual muscles. It's not some form of punishment or something like that. No. God loves us more than we can possibly imagine. And any struggles, any trials, any temptations we go through in this life is always an opportunity to say no to ourselves and say yes to God and his perfect plan for our life. Let's remember that on this Good Friday. Let's tell Jesus how much we love him and how grateful we are for everything he's done for us, is doing for us, and will continue to do for us. Let's conclude, friends, by once again mentioning Helping Autism Through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That's an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius who's very skilled in regards to mathematics. She knows foreign languages. She's a composer. She's a poet. She has all sorts of gifts and abilities. This has been as big of a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate for non-speakers, when I'm talking about RPM, as sign language was for the deaf. You can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. But you can't use a tool unless you know about it. So many people still don't know anything about Rapid Prompting Method. So please spread that website, spread those episodes far and wide, because communication is a human right. Imagine how sad and frustrated you would be if you were unable to communicate with your family and friends, even the most basic stuff. They would have to guess as to what you want, what you need. That's where we were as a family, until through God's grace, Brielle's hard work, the hard work of her family, breaking through to open communication. Now we know all that these, all of these wonderful abilities and gifts that she has. How many like her are out there still in a prison of silence? We need to help them out. So thank you for helping. And thank you for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.